Well, good morning to you again. And I know some of you out in the radio land say, I don't sound like Dr. Carter. Amen. No, he's off preaching somewhere else this morning. And when he gets back, he'll finish up the book of Revelations. We don't have much further to go. He may finish it in one Sunday. I'm not sure. It might take him two. Amen. But I do know this. When he finishes, if he was to go back to chapter 1 and start over, it wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit. Amen. I know I've heard him teach it at least 5 times, if not more, over the years. And I learn something every time he teaches it. And I just wish I could retain all that he puts out. But there's just so much there. I don't know about you, but I can't remember it all. So every time he goes through it, I learn more and I learn more. And it's such a blessing to me. So if he was to start right back over in the book of Revelations and go through it again, it would not hurt my feelings one bit. It would be a blessing to me. And that's what I'm going to do this morning. We're going to start back over in something that we went through. And actually, I'm just going to refresh your memory a little bit. Because if you're like me, you need all the refreshing you can get. It's I hear it, and that's, for some reason, it just don't stick. You know, I can remember it for a day or two, and I know that's what most of you do. You hear something on Sunday morning, man, that was good. And then by Friday, it's gone. And you're right back in the old trail again, right? Isn't that what we do? And that's why we need to be in church every Sunday morning. I know some people don't think that we absolutely have to be here or need to be here, but we need to be here. We need to be fed spiritually, and we need to be reminded. And that's why we teach the Bible over and over and over and over. Folks, we need to be reminded constantly of who we are, where we came from, and what we are today in Christ. And that would be a great blessing to you if you remember that. And this morning, remember when I finished up here, right before preacher got back, we was teaching in the book of Jonah. Anybody remember that? And we didn't really concentrate too much on the Jonah and the whale part of the story. We concentrated more on the attributes of Jonah and how we could apply those attributes to our lives and how we can see a little bit of Jonah in all of us. And if we reflect back on that, and we talked about some of the things, we talked about how he was unfaithful. And then we looked at our side of that in our lives. How are we unfaithful to God? And if we're honest with ourselves, we can all find where we fall short in that category. And we looked at his disobedience and the storms and whatnot that came along with that. And it's surprising when we look at our lives and look at ourselves just how disobedient we are to God. And some folks don't agree with that. Well, look around you outside. Look around the world today. Because if we, when we came here to this country, if we had been obedient to God and we were raising our children properly and doing the things that we ought to be doing as Christians, we would not be in the situation that we're in today. I mean, there are Christians that go to the voting poll today and do not vote Christian. I mean, I've talked to people. I have several people that told me how they voted. And it was not the Christian way. And they had one excuse or another. No, there is none. You know, when you're voting for somebody who wants to destroy the lives of our children, that's not Christian. And you can put it into any category you want to, and you can say that I'm voting for whatever reason you want to. You're still supporting the beliefs of that individual. And that's not Christian. But that's what we're doing. And that's why I love the book of Jonah so much. We learned all these attributes of Jonah. And right there in the story, you can see it unfold before you. Everything, every attribute that Jonah had, you can see it unfold right before your eyes and see how it affected his life. And it's the same way with us. And we'll take time and look at it. We talked about him being proud. Now, I know there's no proud people in here. Amen. I know there's nobody like that around here, but pride would destroy us. It's a horrible thing when you look at it in the right aspect. And stubborn. I know there's nobody in here that's stubborn. I mean, you can ask my wife. She'll tell you, I'm not stubborn one bit. You know, we all have these attribute problems. You know, every one of us have a little bit. And he was cantankerous. Now, I know there's nobody in here that would fit that category. You know? Now, the one category that we might not fall into, he's Hebrew. Amen? But we still have a lot of those traits of a Hebrew. I mean, I've seen a lot of Christian police around here. And when we look at ourselves, and when we become the Christian police, it's no different than being a Pharisee. Because that's what we're doing. It's the same. You end up with the same results. So as we looked at all those things in the book of Jonah, you know, I reflect on every one of those, and I apply those to my life, and I can see how all the things that we do wrong on a daily basis. Now, I don't know about you, but it's a struggle. Everyday life is a struggle. It's not easy walking with God. It's not easy to be a Christian. It's really hard. And it's been really hard the last couple of years when people are asking you to do something that you know is wrong. You know, the stupidity of the things that's taking place. You know, it'll drive you wacky. You know, you go into a restaurant today, and the service and whatnot that you'll get, it's hard to be Christian. You know, you try to keep a Christian attitude, but the world just beats you over the head constantly. So that is why I love the book of Jonah. When we look through that and we read through that and we studied it, it gets you back on the path. It gets you aligned back up with God. It shows you how easy it is for us to fall into the snares of the devil. And it gets us lined back up where we need to be on a daily basis. I mean, I could read it every day, and it helps me every day. Because I'm just like you. We get out here in the world Monday. We go to work doing the things that we do. And it's easy to fall into these snares. So with all that being said, I thought maybe we would look at the book of James. When we go from Jonah, we look at the attributes of Jonah. Then we get into the book of James. James is basically going to tell us how we are to live our lives. Now, this is what some people say. Well, when we come to church, we need to be uplifted. We don't need to be browbeaten all the time. Always beating on us, always beating us down, telling us all the bad things. No, that's not the way it is. That's not true. God loves you. And because he loves you, he has left us a book. He's got his signature all over it. And in his book are directions. It's called the Bible. Right there on the front cover. You can't see it on mine. But it says Bible. B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what our Bible is. So when we look at our Bible that way, we can see that God is instructing us. And that's what he's going to do in the book of James. It's not that I'm trying to beat you up. Dr. Bradley said one time when we was in school, when you go to teach, just teach on your own faults and you'll never run out of something to teach. And that is so true. So I like to be reminded constantly. That's why when I get up in the pulpit preaching and preach hard, I love it. And stepping all over your toes. I know God's talking to me that way. And the instructions that he gives us in his book are the same way. They're not here to beat you up. They're here because he loves you. And he wants you to walk in the right path. Now look at it like this. If God was just wanting to beat you up, that's what he would do. But in his love, through the trials and tribulations that comes into our lives, we grow. We learn. And as we learn, we become better Christians. Now, what does God want for us? He wants for us to be Christ-like. Well, in order for us to have the mind of Christ and to become Christ-like, we've got to grow in the Lord. We've got to grow. We've got to learn. And we don't learn unless we're being told all the time, constantly, what it is that we need to be doing. And that's what he's trying to do here. He's not trying to beat us up. He's trying to love us. Now, let me just give you a little example. Now, last Sunday, we celebrated Mother's Day. There's nothing greater on planet Earth than mamas. Mamas are wonderful. I love my mama. She's not with us this morning. I wish she was, but she's not able to be here. But when I look back at my life, and as a little child, growing up, the things when you speak wrong, mama would pop you. Sometimes she'd get that booty, right? She might get the belt or flip-flop or yardstick or switch. Whatever it took, she'd get on you. Well, let me ask you a question. How many times did mama correct you? Was it once? No. It was many, many times. And she's going to continue to correct you all of her life. Why? Because she loves you. And because of that love, she is going to continuously correct you. She's not correcting you because she doesn't love you. It's the exact opposite. But what do you do as a child? From a little bitty thing, you start to grow. And you grow into young adults that's ready to go into this world into battle. Because that's what we do every day as Christians. But without the training of mama, that wouldn't happen. And unfortunately, we see a lot of the world today that doesn't get that training. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Amen. And any mama, and you listen to me on the radio and call me whatever you want to, I really don't care. Amen. But if you think sparing the rod, you're helping your child, you are sadly mistaken. Amen. Because I promise you down the road, you're going to see the results of that. And what's happening in today's world is that we have begun to believe that we know more than God does. God said, spare the rod, spoil the child. I'm going to stick with God's side of it because I'm pretty sure he knows what he's talking about. So when we get away from that, we're not helping our children. And it's the same way in a church. When we stop teaching the Bible for what it is, when we stop telling you what's right and what's wrong according to the scriptures, it's the same thing. A child goes the wrong way when it's not corrected. Well, it's no different with a child of God. When we don't have the correction that we need in our lives, we don't go the proper way. You know, and too many times, when we read the scripture today, and we're studying God's word, God has given us the truth. He has given us his way. And too many times today, we look at his advice just like we would the advice of another human, and then we weigh it out and decide, well, I think I'll take this road. No. See, that's not the way we do it. When God's advice sends us down this road, that's where we go. Amen. When we decide to start weighing things out, we get in trouble. And that's why I love studying these books. You go and get into the book of Jonah and the book of James, and they're constantly telling you what's right and what's wrong. And folks, we need direction. We need it bad. Really, really bad. And when we look into the world today, when we look into our churches today, they've gone every way but the right way. Spare the rod, spoil the child. And dads, you're not off the hook just because it was Mother's Day. I think I mentioned this the last time I said something. But the fathers, you are to be the spiritual leader of your household. Your family is your responsibility. It's not mama's responsibility to raise the children on her own. She is supposed to raise the children under the authority of the husband, who is under the authority of our God. And too many times today, the man sits back and let mama make all the decisions. That's not the way it works, folks. When you do that, you're asking for disaster. Sooner or later, that train's going to jump the track. It needs to be chain of command, just like God had given it to us. God, dad, and then mama. And anytime you change that around, you have created an issue. You're creating problems for you and your family. And it's not going to be a good thing. And too many times today, we lay all that on mama. I'm going to take you to the, go to the book of Job. Turn to the book of Job. Chapter 1. It won't hurt you to use the Bible a little bit this morning. Amen. And we'll just start in verse 5. It says, "And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all." That's the number of his family. "And Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." See, Job took responsibility for his family. And he made amends to God for anything that they may have done. That is, that's our job. That's our job. And it's so sad to me. Me and my wife and I would go out to dinner, and very rarely will you see a family pray. But most of the time when you do, it's either mama praying or a child praying. Folks, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's daddy's responsibility. That's daddy's supposed to be the leader. It's daddy's responsibility to see to it that the wife and the children are open in church. That's dad's responsibility. It's not mama's responsibility. God bless the mamas of the earth, but they get way too much put on them. And daddies have stepped by the wayside and allow everything just to go however it goes. Folks, that's not the way we're supposed to be. And it's time that daddies stand up and be daddies and be the spiritual leaders of their households. You know, there's a little song. I don't remember the name of it. I hear it very rarely anyhow. But sometimes when you're out of the range of our radio, you turn the radio on, you got to find something else. So if I find a station, this little song would come on there, and it was talking about a little boy who was watching his daddy. And he was doing the things that his daddy did. Folks, that's the way it is in our real lives. These children are watching daddy. And daddies, no matter what you may think, but those children, they want to be like their daddy. So it's so important that we follow the line that God has given to us. We need to get back on track. And it's not fair to mamas for daddies to continuously put them on the hook for everything. So let's go back to the book of James now. Now James is the half-brother of Jesus. And he's going to be writing to the tribes of Israel, which is scattered abroad at this time. Great persecution is falling upon the church. And James is going to trying to keep doctrinal purity in the church, which is becoming more diverse and differing one from another. And we still see that today in the church. I mean, think about it. Why do we have so many different types of churches? Jesus started one church, but we have many, many, many different. I don't even know how many kinds we have now. But even in amongst our own ranks, we don't always teach the same things. And so this is what James was fighting against way back in the early church days. James was fighting this problem. Well, it's become even worse today. But without correction, without straightening it up, and without us being taught proper. If we're not beat over the head once in a while, we go astray. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's easy for us to make mistakes with the Bible, especially if we don't know it. And as we gain members in our church, if we have 15 new converts come in this year, it's kind of like, remember when you was in school and they was teaching about America and how America was the melting pot? Well, and they try to make that sound to be a good thing. Well, that's not really a good thing. Because this is what happens, just like when members come into our church, depending on age, they bring their luggage with them. Okay? I mean, people, they've grown. You know, if they're 30 years old, 20 years old, or 60 years old, depending on how old they are, the more luggage they bring. And unfortunately, everything that's being taught is not real, is not truth. But Have you ever asked yourself, how does a Muslim believe what they believe? Who is the most important person in your life on this earth? Mommy and daddy, right? Well, mommy and daddy has taught them from a child that that's truth. So, and it doesn't matter whether it's a Muslim or whether it's a Catholic or a Methodist. It doesn't matter what it is. But whatever it is, that's what they've been taught is truth. So when they come here and they get born again, they get saved, they still have that luggage. And unfortunately, it's like I heard the preacher was preaching one night, and he was talking about how they catch monkeys over in Africa sometimes. They'll take a jar and put food in it, and the jar will be chained down, and a monkey will put his hand in there to get the food. Well, you go to get the monkey, he'll grab the food. Well, he can't get his hand out of the jar. But he won't let go of the food. So he's stuck in that jar, and they catch the monkeys. Well, unfortunately, a lot of us today are the same way in religion. They got a hold to that little nugget, right or wrong, and they won't let go. So they're stuck there. So when they come into our church, into our fold, now you've got to deal with that. So it takes a lot of teaching. Do you throw them out because? No. Because we were all there at one time before we got saved. So, you know, if you was raised up in a good church, and God bless you, but you're one of how many? You know, most of us have grown up outside of the proper church, the proper teachings. So we have to, all these things we have to be taught. And that's why, because I've heard people say, well, you know, they taught that 6 months ago. Yeah, we're going to teach it 6 months from now. We might teach it again next week. You know, we're going to teach it over and over and over and over. Folks, people still get saved the same way. All the way back to the beginning, all the way back to the days of Christ, and even before. There's only one way to get saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You believe with thy heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. And we all get saved the same way. So we're going to teach it over and over and over. And if you're wise, rather than being critical about it, you need to listen to it because you need it. I promise you. If we taught Jonah every day of the week, it wouldn't hurt you one bit because you need it somewhere along the line. And the only way we're going to learn is to continuously hear that and be reminded every day. Because I know when we walk out of here today, we're all going to walk out of here a little bit better than we came in. But where are we at along about Friday? We're right back to where we was a lot of times. We grow spiritually. But it's just like mamas when they feed their babies. What happens if mama don't feed the baby? The baby dies. It starves to death. You understand? It's the same way with us. Folks, we got to be fed. We need to be spiritually fed or we die spiritually. There's no growth. So does it really matter what's being taught or how many times it's being taught over and over and over and over? I have learned to come into the house of God and listen to what he gives me. Because he knows what I need, whether I know it or not. He does. He does know. He knows more about my life than I know. You ever thought about that? God knows every hair on your head, do you? See, he knows more about you than you do. But sometimes we just think we're all that. But folks, we just need to stick to the basis of what God's given us. I have no idea where I'm at in my notes. You ever get that way? So let's look at verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Now you notice that James here, he didn't call himself the brother of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but if Jesus was my brother at that time, I probably would have wanted to brag about it a little bit. I mean, I can't think of a better person to have for a brother, amen? But you notice James didn't do that. James called himself a servant. So what does that tell me? Right out of the gate, that tells me it's better to be a servant than to be a brother. Amen? James considered himself to be a servant. Now, he's talking about the 12 tribes. They're scattered abroad. We mentioned that just a few moments ago. In verse 2, he says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations." Now, you notice he didn't say if you fall into. What did he say? When ye fall. In other words, there's going to be trials and tribulations coming to us, and it's going to be. It's just a matter of when, not if. But you notice he said, count it all joy. Now, you think about that, and you say, man, that's tough. And it is. It is tough. But we make our first mistake by comparing joy and happiness to be the same thing, and they're not. Brother Hester just had a thing on the radio. How many of you heard Brother Hester on the radio this week talking about joy? You hear him? Amen. Amen. He did an awesome job explaining joy and happiness. Joy is, matter of fact, go to Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22. It says, chapter 5, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." That's a capital S in Spirit. For it's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we get from God. That's what we get from the Lord Jesus. It fills us up on the inside. Happiness is a result of an action. You know, somebody gives you a new car, you're happy, right? Well, that's a different thing. It's not the same thing as having joy with God. So when we go back to verse 2, and he says to count it all joy, this is why it's so important that we take the lessons of obedience that James gives to us and apply them to our lives. Because as we grow, see, God wants you to be like him. He wants you to be Christ-like. And in order for you to grow spiritually, we have to take these little trials that we come to. And they're not to beat us up. They're to make us better. How are we going to grow in the Lord Jesus? How do we grow in Christ if there's no trials? You ever think about that? I mean, you can't have a valley without two hills, right? So in order for us to grow in the Lord, little things is going to creep into our lives, and we grow. And we grow. And as we grow closer to God. Our faith becomes stronger in the Lord Jesus. Folks, have you ever asked yourself, I mean, I know you've done this. I mean, how many of you have thought to yourself, am I really saved? Throughout your lifetime, am I really saved? You know, and you know why that thought comes to us? Because inside, what does God say our heart is? What is man? We're just evil continually. So inside, we know that we're rotten to the core. We know that. Nobody has to tell us how bad we are. We know we are. So with that being said, sometimes we can't understand, how can I go to heaven? See, we know that we're not worthy of heaven. But God loves us. And because he loves us, he has paid the price. He has paid the debt. But it's just so hard for us to understand that sometimes. We don't really get the gist of that. So we go through life, and instead of being strong Christians, as we ought to be, we go through life just getting by. We won't tell somebody else about Jesus because we're not sure of our own salvation. And by the way, that won't send you to hell. When you're saved, you're saved. You're not going to get unsaved. There's nothing you can do to get unsaved. If you can get unsaved, you were never saved. Okay? You need to get a hold to that. You need to grab onto that because that's the truth. But that is why these little things come into our lives, because we grow. And as we grow, our faith grows. And that joy on the inside grows. I don't know about you, but I love the fact that I'm saved and going to heaven. And the joy that that gives me, and the understanding that I get when I read God's word and he teaches me. I know I'm just like you. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of heaven. But I do know that my Jesus died for me to have that. And nobody can take that from me. And there's nothing I can do to mess up and lose it. I'm already messed up. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. You know? Folks, none of us deserve it. None of us. It's a God-given gift. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for our sin. And we need to grab that and hang on to it. Nobody can steal it. There's nothing you can do. You can't mess up and drop it and lose it by the wayside. It's yours for the keeping. It's yours forever. And that's the importance of these teachings. That we learn and we grow and we begin to understand that it's not us. It's who lives in us. And that's where that joy is. That joy that's in my heart is the Lord Jesus. And that's what James is talking about here. Count it all joy. See, when we thank God that you're able to see the wrong in something. Do you think these folks in the White House see wrong in what they're doing? No. They think they're right. Yep. I thank God that I have a joy in my heart, that I got a Christ that lives in me, that I can look and I can see that, and I can say, boy, that's wrong. I thank God that I can comprehend that. Lost people don't. It's so sad. But that's the joy James is talking about right here. And we go to verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's where we grow. That's how we learn. And I know it's not easy. It's hard for us when we go through those trials. But we all go through them. And in verse 4 it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be what? Perfect. And entire, wanting nothing. That's the growth in the Lord Jesus. That's where we end up at. As we grow and we take the sufferings that come upon us. That's why James is saying take it for joy. Because that growing is what makes us more Christ-like. And folks, in the suffering that we do here is nothing compared to what Jesus suffered for you. But all the sufferings that we go through, it doesn't matter whether it's health issues, whatever it is that comes into your life. Somewhere down the road, God has a purpose. And when we learn to grab a hold to that and understand that, then those things become less burdensome to us. I mean, I remember Brother Baker. Remember all the transplants and all the surgeries, all the complications that Brother Baker went through. You know what Brother Baker said? This is what he told me in the hospital. He said, Brother Perkins, I'm just glad it's me. Somebody else don't have to go through it. That's the love of Christ. And that's what we need as individuals. And I'm out of time, so I'm going to stop right there. All right, what's our Sunday school count this morning? 502, 244 online, 746 total. We're off a little bit. We got a lot of Northerners sneaking out of here going home, amen. All righty, we'll come back in a few minutes for the preaching service.